Hi and welcome to Matrix Moments. This is Saloni and today's episode is a very special Delhi edition Founder Moments episode. We have with us today Chirag Taneja, the co-founder of GoQuick, Amit Lakhotia, founder of Park Plus, Anindya Datta, the co-founder of Stanza Living, and Ashish Mohapatra, co-founder of Off Business, along with Avnish Bajaj, founder and managing director at Matrix Partners India. Today's discussion is heavily centered around the prevailing startup environment, and we're here to essentially take stock of the current scenario, from the overheated funding situation to exits, M&As, remote hybrid working models, the COVID impact, all of this and more through the lens of seasoned operators and entrepreneurs. Tune in to hear their perspective.
Hi, and welcome to, in my view, a very special and rare episode of Matrix Moments. For those of you who follow what content gets put out, the section that gets the highest engagement is what is called the Founder Moments. And I could not be more excited and privileged to be alongside four founders sitting here in Delhi. And I hope that you guys will find this episode interesting. We had put out requests for input on what we should cover. And we got a lot of input, but from one person, Ashish. And hopefully you will see the camaraderie here. We all know each other for a while. So he suggested that there should be a panel. And I thought it's a wonderful idea. We have some questions. Hopefully we'll get more inputs from you guys so we can do more of these things. And the idea is to actually really cater to the top questions that people have in their minds as they undergo their journeys. All of you have started and seen various phases and at various stages of building very large companies, but hopefully the topics we cover can help everyone. I'll make a quick introduction and then I'll turn it over to them to give a slightly more detailed introduction. All of their backgrounds are very, very interesting. On my left is Amit Lakhotia, founder of Park Plus. I would say the simplest way to describe it is to aggregate and solve parking problems, but it's going to be much beyond that in terms of a super app, but I'll let him talk about it very quickly. Very illustrious background from Make My Trip, Paytm, Tokopedia. We have Anindya Andy, who's Stanza Living, disrupting and providing student housing throughout the country. It would be very interesting to hear actually both their perspectives on how they handled in their businesses the COVID-related disruption. And I'll let Andy also talk more about his background. Chirag, also a repeat founder, onto his business GoQuick, where the investment was recently announced. He says he's democratizing e-commerce or commerce in India. So I think that's interesting. Ashish used to be at Matrix before he chose better things.
Let
go from Matrix for the right reasons, whatever that means. Building Off Business, the business has done extremely well, and I know a bunch of you would have heard about it and are also inspired by it. I'll let Ashish talk about his background also prior to Matrix, which was McKinsey. But Amit, why don't we start with you quickly covering your background and why you chose this problem statement.
So I run Park Plus. We are building a super app for car users. All problems of car owners getting solved on a single platform. The problem, I think, started like when I was at Paytm, when we used to go to the office and office had limited parkings. So you would go to first to the office, check whether there's a parking in the office. Then there is no parking, then you go to an authority parking, and then you have to go and figure out on the road. So this used to take like a 15-20 minutes wastage every day. And I'm not a big car fan or basic problems around even servicing, denting, painting, roadside, where to get it done, etc. used to bother me. And so when I came back, I started my career with Make My Trip, then went to Paytm for building the whole wallet business, and then I was at Indonesia. So when I came back, I was very, very clear that I wanted to build business for the top 2, top 3% of Indian population, and this problem just fitted there. So that's how I started.
Super.
Hi, I'm reading Stanza Living along with my co-founder, Sandeep. What we are trying to create is basically a managed living ecosystem solution. Obviously, students were an obvious initial segment to go after and, you know, made a lot of sense to begin with. But the idea is to create a service-enabled, amenitized way of accessing residential real estate for multiple consumer groups. And obviously, students, as I said, was easy. We then moved on to young professionals. We want to kind of go the entire life cycle from a consumer lens. So if anyone needs a place to stay in, we want to provide a service-enabled solution or methodology for someone to access that real estate and in the most hassle-free, convenient, cost-effective manner. So that's what we are building at this point of time. I think on day one, we didn't think about the problem statement this way. I was at Goldman and then at Oak Tree, both large owners of student housing businesses in a global context, and I've seen that sector in an international context, and that's what brought me back to India to start Stanza. But I think, you know, one of the beauties of being in the Indian venture ecosystem is that problem statements evolve, your understanding of the problem statement evolves, and hence how we've thought about Stanza has also evolved and is continuing to evolve. So I think Stanza of 2017 is very different from the Stanza of today, and hopefully it'll be different 2 years out as well. So yeah, the problem statement keeps evolving, and that's where we are. Maybe the next time I do Matrix format, I have a very different definition to how we think about Stanza. But yeah, that's what we're building.
So Andy, what's tech in your business?
Yeah, so I think at the end of the day, what we want to say is that consumers need to access multiple services on a day-to-day basis. Today, he or she does that using multiple different solutions which exist on our mobile phones. Why should someone need to go to different, you know, platforms to solve for their daily needs? We should be able to do that today on a single platform. Providing that solution for a consumer to access different things like accommodation, F&B, home services, laundry, etc., on a single platform is what we're trying to solve through tech. So it is, at the end of the day, an operating business which sits on real estate, but at the heart of it is a consumer tech problem which we're trying to solve.
Just like people are getting deliveries of various stuff on demand at home.
Yeah, I think Amit used the word super app. I was told super app is taboo, you should not use that word. Yeah. But in many ways, we are thinking around that same lens, saying that why should a consumer, every day what a consumer needs, living in a place, should be available, subscription, pay-as-you-go, whichever format, but on a single platform.
Student super app, that makes it double the valuation already.
Well, I mean, you can triple, you know, quadruple that valuation if you say every person living in any kind of residential real estate super.
Chirag.
Yeah, Chirag. So I started this business called GoQuake. So this is a pandemic-born business, unlike all of the three other here. So plan is to democratize, as Abhi said, democratize shopping experience. By that, what I mean is that can we provide Amazon-type experience on the non-Amazon, on Flipkart world? That's the broad idea, and I think, I used to run Bombay Shaving Company prior to this, and if you would have asked me in last year, Feb 2020, that, Chirag, would you do another startup, I would have probably said no. And then I think COVID happened.
They weren't shaving anyways. They weren't shaving anyways.
We do have a beard category also. As you will. Right. So, and I think I saw the world changing. We ourselves doubled in a month. Saw a lot of brands quadrupling in a matter of a quarter. It became quite clear that non-Amazon, non-Flipkart will be a sizable portion in our country. And that led me to, and there were some problem statements which were, you know, which required deep tech, data science companies to go out and solve for it, expertise, which I saw at least this world didn't have as a DNA. So here now building a deep tech data science company, it's been 8-9 months since we launched, and that's about it.
Super. Ashish?
Hi, this is Ashish. I'm helping 600 odd OFBNs build a business. Our business is a B2B commerce platform that also solves for other needs like financing and marketing. By far the oldest, the oldest both in terms of age and business, and you know who to kick for in case this doesn't go well. So, thank you.
Super.
And again, thanks for having us here. Multiple editions of Matrix Moments for all of us.
No, thank you to all of you for being here. So Amit and Andy, their businesses saw COVID tailwinds. Your businesses saw COVID headwinds. But I have also observed how you guys were executing during that period, such that you come out of it very strongly. Was there ever a period of time where you regretted, ki ye kya ho gaya, why are we now? And I'm sure there are people listening here who would have felt some of that stuff. And how did you, what did you do without giving away, you know, maybe too much detail? What did you do during that period?
So actually, COVID was good as well as bad for us. Both the things, bad as well as good for us. Bad obviously because it disrupted the way we were thinking about building the business. The problem of parking exists mostly for corporate parking. Every day you go to the office, you can't figure out the parking, so you try to park somewhere. And suddenly with COVID, the parkings are out because the offices are out. So what are the problems we are solving? So that became like an existential question. The second, but what was good about all this was, if you look at malls, if you look at all these places where people go, where the manual purchase used and cash was getting exchanged. In fact, parking is probably the only ecosystem in India where digital payments would be still less than 5% of the business. Now, with COVID coming in and everybody getting out of that, everybody wanting the contactless, touchless solutions, suddenly we started seeing the parking adoption, not only at the mall, digital parking adoption, not only at the mall side, but also at the consumer side significantly. And at the same time, FASTag, etc. also came in with the government push. So suddenly, the whole thing can be made as seamless as when you get out of Uber and the payments happen automatically without you having to stop.
All of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't integrate, I wasn't able to integrate
No, so I think for the broader audience, it has been actually amazing to see the kind of hustle that happened in that 9-12 month period, including launching contact tracing for malls, maps for malls, FASTag, car wash, car sanitization. And I think the general, I mean, I was inspired by the amount of hustle that was happening.
Actually, the good thing was also about vaccination. So, right through vaccination, we would have vaccinated close to about 30,000 people in Gurgaon in our camps. So, I think that helped us create a lot of, not only one, obviously at a company level, good brand and everything, but at a consumer level, like you were able to demonstrate that parking could be used for multiple use cases. And if we were able to stand it, rather than the time when vaccination started happening, that is the time when people were ready to go out and get themselves vaccinated.
Yeah.
So I think that was fairly useful from our point of view.
I think, I think in April, May, June was still okay for us because we were very student heavy at that point of business and you had money collected for the entire semester, so it was not that painful for us to begin with. But I think July, August, September, October were kind of significantly low revenue months for us because, you know, the colleges didn't open, workplaces didn't open, so our consumers were not coming back. I think, you know, there are three broad themes which I think stood out for us. One was that we soon realized that there is no one-size-fits-all answer. And I think, I remember in April, May, all of you were kind of being on overdrive with every company, trying to talk to them, figure out what's happening, exchange learnings and all of that. And we were hearing a lot about what other companies were doing. And there was a lot of talk around pivot. Yeah. And pivots and how do you pivot and what do you do. We took a contrarian approach, and I don't know if it's contrarian or not, but I think that's what I learned, it, that not every answer suits every company or every ecosystem. We said double down your core. We said don't pivot. Don't try to look at short-term revenue opportunities. Just focus on what you can do. What has come and will be around for the next 12, 18, 24 months, but we don't know where it will end, but you know what you're building, so let's focus on that. So we took the view that this works for us. May not work for others, what we are doing may not work for them, but this works for us. Secondly, over-communicate with everybody. All stakeholders, we over-communicated, sometimes to the extent of being vulnerable and telling people that, you know, this is not good and let's accept it. I think the biggest thing which I learned through, and we saw this in the company, parts where we over-communicated, there were no issues, and there are no issues. Parts where we didn't communicate as well, clearly there were issues, and we ended up paying more, or, you know, having to do more to kind of recover that. And everyone was going through uncertainty. By not communicating, the only thing which you could have done was just aggravate that even more. Whether it's, you know, employees and people you work with, or whether it's landlords or stakeholders, whoever it is, over-communication was the key.
What exactly did you communicate?
Everything, right? From telling her, look, I don't think business is coming back in the next 6 months. And telling the landlords, I'll not pay you in the next 6 months. That's the reality. I'm not going to tell you that agle mahine dekhte hain, fir agle mahine dekhte hain. You know, that approach of kind of trying to kicking the can down the road and then again sitting down with him was going to mean, you know, that you were creating more heartburn for your partners. And we said, let's day one tell them that we don't know when this is going to end, but this looks bad at this point of time. But what can we do? So let's take, you know, there were contractual obligations. We had force majeure in all our contracts. And yet we didn't bring up the force majeure with the landlords. We said, what can I do to ensure that you don't face pain and I don't face pain? Let's figure that out together. And very often it used to be, can you make sure you pay me enough to cover my EMI? You know, things like that. Which suddenly when you try to make the landlord part of that conversation or a partner part of that conversation, I felt like you got a lot more buy-in to long-term solution. Rather than saying, you know, that kind of approach. And I think that worked very, very well for us. And I think the third thing is building as much optionality. And I think a lot of us tend to build a lot of optionality into a lot of our contracts. But optionality is zero value till you don't exercise that option. When the time has come to exercise the option, do it. You know, there's no point saying that, oh, I have an optionality in my contract to not take deliveries of a particular thing. But you know, we should not, you know, we should probably take X or take Y. If you've got an optionality, you know, make value of that and then keep building that optionality to future contracts and agreements with partners. There is value to that because you don't know what will happen next. You know, today, you know, the point of niche is that today this was a health crisis which impacted, you know, Amit's business or our business more. Tomorrow it will be something else which will impact some other business more and suddenly you will find tailwinds for another business. The reality is, we don't know what kind of crisis is going to come in the future. Having optionality in all our agreements is of tremendous value, I think, at this point in time. And we should not like shy away from spending time on that today, because there will come a day when that will become important. So I think these were the kind of three broad thoughts.
Very good. So I would say one thing I would like to emphasize for everybody is what you said about authenticity in terms of communication. You know, even within Matrix, when April, May, when, you know, all of that stuff was happening with oxygen, it was depressing. Mm-hmm. And in the all hands, you know, instead of trying to always be, this is the answer, we just said we're depressed. It's a bad situation, right? How do you get over it?
Yeah.
And I think almost being able to share that uncertainty together was communication in itself.
Absolutely.
As opposed to everybody kind of sitting in there home and trying to process it. Right?
In fact, we did something actually just the very opposite in terms of communication. What we said is, let's figure out a series to run across social media as well as newsletters, wherein each single day, you find out what is good happening in the world.
Mm.
Either even if it's a tiny blip or so, and communicate it to the rest of your ecosystem. And it was in a closed ecosystem, largely to people who we knew and stuff like that. It got a lot of hits. A lot of people wrote back, they were free anyways, they weren't streaming. I think just communication and using it as a strategic tool in very many ways during COVID, and you'll find lots of us having done that in very many ways, all of us actually found out a very different way of doing it. We did that.
I think what Ashish is saying is important. It's not whether you communicate positive or negative. And no communication is the worst thing which you can do.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you have to avoid, this kind of being static in terms of not saying anything.
Yeah.
Because then people are making up their own minds.
Yeah.
And that's worse.
And recalling what you said, we did an induction for an hour. Mm-hmm. And it went to 2.5 hours. People were just not ready to give up. They said, they were doing this. They were depressed. They were listening to the examination.
Yeah.
You know, so picking up that thread about culture, I was going to go a different direction, but since we are talking about this, Chirag, you are building a fully remote company. So I just asked him how many employees are in, 55 employees now? How many are in Delhi? He said, actually, no.
25% are in Delhi, but at least that's not our metric which I keep at
hand. I offered him free office space, he didn't take it. He said he didn't need it.
Because he has free office space. It's free. And I know everybody here has a different opinion. I was in Amit's office this morning. So I would love your thoughts on, you know, you are a new company. People have not really met each other. How do you create this culture? How do you create a binding culture as a fully remote company? Because I think if you can pull it off, it's going to be very special. But how do you think about that? And What do you guys think? I'm sure everybody is dealing with tech guys don't want to come back to the office.
Okay.
Hybrid karna hai. Earlier people used to wonder Bangalore mein office khole, yahan khole. So I think it would be a good, interesting discussion.
I think we are in a, you can say, we are in a unique position that way. That for us, because the company was born during pandemic, so the default mode became ki hum to remote hi kaam karte hain. Right, so I'll tell you an instance that we called people last week to office just to get to know each other. People spent 4 days here and everybody, I took a poll of it and everybody said that aise kaam to nahi ho sakta. You know, kaam to waise hi hota hai. Right, so imagine the, in the 9 month and there are people who are fresher also and experienced. So experienced people are also saying the same. And you know, this is the way we work in this company. So maybe now, and at least from a more strategic point of view, what I believe is, at least for our set of companies, agility is a very, very important thing. You know, at least I believe that in a world where capital is abundant, if companies which are tech data science driven, if they're not agile, they'll get disrupted. And I use that remote working as a tool to remain agile. Because remote working pushes you to remain agile. So for example, documentation. Coming prepared for meetings. In a offline world, I'll call anyone and say, let's have a meeting. But in this world, you can't do. Right? So it pushes you in that direction to, you know, remain agile. Be very conscious of your time. But of course, I'm not saying that there is no value to meeting. So the answer probably somewhere lies in between. We are also figuring out that can we get all people to meet once in a month or in 45 days. So at least there is some sanctity to, you know, what culture or what is the mission alignment. Right? That tends to become a little off. But from an individual working point of view, this is probably the best.
We did just the opposite.
I was going to say, I'm sure, you are, just for everybody's benefit, probably one of the most culture-focused companies I know, including a lot of management training programs and stuff. So, could you do it remotely?
No. We did not even attempt to do it remotely. What we said is you have to be back in office on day one and you figure out how. Pretty much that, right? So, so we were essential services to begin with.
And I'm very happy because it won't be one.
So we were essential services to begin with. So financial services were allowed during COVID, but you had to get licenses for it. The big stigma, I think, was to actually get the first 100 people to office or on the field, right? So we said what we'll do is the following. We will actually learn, we'll run buses in all our major cities in a predetermined route, wherein you come in and you come in the bus. The moment they come in the bus, three or four things happen. The first thing that happens is that they see their colleagues coming in the bus, they hop onto the bus. Second is the office hours get extended because you add probably 2 hours more to the office time. The third thing that happens is that the fear of COVID, with just, you know, people coming in, probably playing Antakshari on the way or just breezing through bright sunny roads which are rarity in Delhi, itself actually makes you feel happier, stronger and stuff like that. So I think for us, who are more field-oriented, who actually have a big offline arm along with technology, it was very important to inculcate the culture that nothing has changed. For us, we believe that in COVID, we saw the watershed moments of our life. We thought that this is the time when we have to double down and really squash all kinds of micro-competition that we had. And hence, we all had to be back at work. We all have to see each other, feel each
but
other.
Ashish, ultimately, you can't wish away COVID. It is a serious health crisis, right? So how do you balance the safety and security of your employees with this object?
No, to be honest with you, Abhish, everybody, because they were all on media as well as, you know, they used to talk to everybody around. There was fear all around.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough hope.
Yeah.
What we did is we balanced them by giving them hope.
Yeah.
Most of the people actually were abundant with bad news from reading it in the newspaper, seeing it on televisions. Actually, the argument is the other side. What we did...
Because I know you also did a lot on making sure that they were secure in their health also. So you should
yes,
talk about
so
that.
I'll tell you what we did. What we did is we told them that, see, very basic things of what you need to do is something that we will provide for free. So whether it is masks, whether it is sanitizers, whether it is people sitting away from each other, whether it is temperature screening, all that we'll do. But beyond that, we left it to the people to, in their micro ecosystems, to actually innovate on how they would be safe. For example, a lot of people came back and said, like the technology guys came back and said, hey, we don't need this. why don't you make some little bit of more infrastructure environment, and we will actually create a virtual network wherein we interact with each other, even on an informal basis during the course of the day, right? So what we did is we said, okay, there's some basic things which we need to take care of, but beyond that, we leave it to the people. They are smart enough. They are, I would say, they have their own coteries. They would have their own value systems, and let them figure out what is right for them. I personally think that if you prescribe rules which are don'ts, if you say do's, great. But if you prescribe rules which are don'ts, naturally as a human being, you have the tendency to not do it, right?
Yeah.
So hence we said do's are basics. You will anyways get taken care of it. Like for example, in the office, there were half chairs that we removed. So you just can't stay. I mean, you can't have the other half, right? So that's what we did.
I would say what Ashish is not saying is if anybody contracted COVID or needed oxygen, he was personally on the phone, there was a full SOP set up, everything. So there it wasn't as if the company is just forcing you to do it without providing the absolute every resource.
12 cars dedicated during the time of COVID, which were fully armed with oxygen cylinders, with basic essential medicines, with people in case there were people who were like living in, you know, isolated places, they just needed a caretaker and all that. My own car as well. So 12 cars completely dedicated to this. But we did that during the second wave. It was a very basic thing to do. I don't think that was a real innovation from anybody's side, to be honest.
I'll just add one thing to what Ashish said, and true with our business as well. We had, even at the peak of the second wave, roughly 4,000 people living in Stanza facilities, which were being served on a daily basis by our own teams. It felt very hypocritical for a ground team member to be on the ground serving people with the risk of COVID all around him, and for the people at the top to then say, you know, I'm sitting at my home because I need to be safe. That somehow felt absolutely wrong from our perspective. And so we were out and about the moment we could. So, you know, and like Chirag, we actually, and like Ashish, we were back to office the moment we could, first thing. And I honestly, I don't know how Chirag is doing this. I honestly think work from home is the biggest, is going to be in the long term the biggest productivity dampener, in my opinion.
Unless you decide to create a data science company.
I'm
sure about that. No, but by the way, we were debating this. I do believe that, you know, thin stack versus full stack is very different.
Mm-hmm.
If it's ops heavy, three businesses here are ops heavy, one is not as much. The you can actually pull it off, I believe. Versus,
and obviously because I don't know. But
yeah.
my only view is there's a lot more to ability and skill which makes a company, which I think happens from meeting people and being part of that same tribe, and I think that's very tough to have.
Paisa sir, obsevi ban
jayega. You're right, that's why I said that, you know, the answer is not that it has to be 100% remote.
Yeah.
So there is definite value to meeting, getting this culture.
Just
watch
the remote ho sakte hain, baaki 90%
office. Function of tech and data science.
Amit, I know you have been leading by example by going to the office and all of that. What, any other thoughts?
Yeah, pressing accelerator of the car on an empty NH8 is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's stress buster.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are cameras around, but there are stretches where you can do 100, 120, 140. And like, I think there is no better stress buster for me than just empty roads and
being there,
in parking a car in a parkless facility.
The commonest joke around in Delhi was, could you see the Qutub Minar? And people said that after Asian Games 1982,
yeah,
this was the first time they could see Qutub Minar from Gurgaon.
Picking up this thread a little bit further on to culture, would love for you guys, each of you, I think it will be very interesting for everybody listening, what is the culture of your organization? What, and how do you think about it? What have you done right? And what do you think you could do differently?
Hamara to sir simple. Aate hi samay chhad do. What we do is we make sure that they are homogeneous at the time of entry. So typically at the entry point, if you are looking for some shared common values, which we believe are 4 H's, I borrowed those 2 H's, first 2 H's from Matrix and then added a couple of H's of my own. Hunger and hustle, humility and honesty. Humility and honesty we added because ours was a B2B kind of an environment.
Excuse me? So you meant that Matrix,
we
get that humility and all.
So there are two I borrowed from Matrix and two I lent out to Matrix.
Okay, thank you. Fair enough.
Interest to be charged fully. So we believe that these 4 H's are important, but apart from that, the ability to just talk, communication flair, for example,
the ability to actually be commercial, the ability to actually put everything aside and be company first. These are very basic things that you can actually look for and have very, you know, proxies in both your interactions as well as what you've done in the past. If you kind of get these kind of people, and hence we hire only freshers, and largely our organization is mostly 80% is freshers, 85% is freshers actually. So at that time of entry, if you take homogeneity, then I think whatever culture you want to make will always last forever. So that's the approach we've taken. I'm sure others, I know Stanza is very different, because the first time I said it out to them, they were, no, this can't happen. So I think Andy should.
No, I mean, we have a slightly different view on this. We encourage friction. And the more friction, the more excited I get. And people who can wade through that friction are people who do well at Stanza. That's the way we see this. Because there are multiple ways of looking at the same consumer, the same problem, and I would like to kind of have that friction come through.
And humility and honesty, by the way, are absolutely non-negotiable. It's a very good point that Ashish makes. But the more maturity and more years, I think we have seen that the ability to navigate some of that friction points makes you better fit in the Stanza ecosystem. And so we encourage a lot of friction. Every time you're trying to create maker-checker ecosystems in such a way that there's always this ongoing friction which you have to kind of deal with and push through.
Interesting. So that doesn't result in employee dissatisfaction.
I mean, I think it's about embracing it. And I think, you know, you ask what have you done right. I think what we've done right is, if I don't think people buy into this on day one. But I think over time, the people, you know, who we have hired, I think we've got that right in terms of making sure they embrace that as a philosophy. And I think that's where, so it's hard work, but I think it's something which at least we feel kind of serves us well.
Doesn't it happen that people come to you for resolutions?
It used to happen. I think that's where I think one of the things which we realized that when we were not hiring enough mature people in the leadership level, everything was coming all the way to us. And suddenly when we got a little bit of gray hair, a little bit of maturity, and we realized that people were going to kind of resolve that.
But you know what? We realized that the moment you're okay to wait, after 2 to 3 years, you will actually have 40 to 50 people with relatively very fast and deep gray.
I think that's a good point, and we've considered that. I think we've probably not had the patience to have kind of seen that through. But it's a point which we've thought about significantly. Like, do you want to groom that person into that role and give yourself that 2 to 3 years?
I just heard there are 40 to 50 people available.
Every single year, we make the best. No, I'll tell you, every single year. Every single year, our first batch of management trainees, or the oldest batch of management trainees, actually gets defunct. Mm-hmm. They're jobless. Because every single year they get promoted. So the last batch is always jobless. So they will all do the new things to drive growth, efficiency, all the new stuff. In fact, most of the COVID stuff, these 12 cars that we mentioned, were the second batch of empty guys who had just gotten jobless. What we promise them is that 4 years you'll have a great journey, and after 4 years you'll have to find a new one. Right? So to that point around gray hair, my sense is that if you have to hire from the market, it's going to be expensive and much more difficult to drill culture. I know it's separate from yours, but...
In your business, do people have to invent a lot of stuff, or do people have some level of understanding on how to push this? Like, for example, in my case, it is about category creation. So what we also do is throw a lot of darts and see which one sticks. Obviously, against everyone, there is an hypothesis. But we try to throw a lot of, and somebody has to make it work. And we have seen in some cases, we have been able to make it work. Like, for example, the gate business which we started. Today, we have now 2,000 gates across India, the boom areas, and they work very, very seamlessly. But, like, if you would have asked me this about, say, 12 months back, I don't think so. This business would have been that big. So
it's an emphasis on strategic thinking versus execution. Mm. If there is strategic clarity, maybe the model that you are talking about you get away with. But if it isn't, can you? And I know that actually there's a lot of strategic stuff that happens.
But if you have to think more than 2% of your time, you're in the wrong business.
And I
think first. Mm. Maybe, you know, think for the first 2 months, execute for the next 20 months.
But you know, 40, 50, 60 log, I think the way Ashish is building the company, if you ask me, was an integral to me. If he can, I think he's pulling it off. If you can pull it off, then it becomes very, very large. Because you have 40, 50, 60 people who are ready to take on stuff. Right? And as the ambition of the company expands, the people who can take it on.
But in my opinion, there's no other way. You look at Goldman Sachs, you look at McKinsey,
all the great businesses of the world, Hindustan Lever, Unilever, Procter & Gamble, they were all exactly built the same way, which is that you take people at entry level, homogenize them, and then let them grow. And
you know, I agree a bit with him. In terms of my experience also, we have found that if you take people with more than 5, 6, 7 years of work, typically what happens is, first 6 months there is so much of friction, because they come from a specific background. For example, in my kind of business, you have to be very, very merit-driven and very, very customer-centered. For example, I'm very open culture. Like, I sit on an open table. We don't have a kitchen or anything of that sort. For a lot of people, that is short.
Yeah.
Like, for a lot of people, it is very, very annoying that anybody can walk up to them and ask a question without setting a meeting calendar. But that is how our culture is. I'm sitting in, anybody can walk in and Amit Kiru would push me. And like, if I'm really busy, I can tell him that he abhi jawab de sakta. But everybody can just walk in. And that is very, very hard for a lot of people who are accustomed to the meeting invite aayega. Uske baad baat.
Delhi mein waise hi log poochte nahi. They would prefer to just walk in. And baje. So it's customized to the idea.
I'm surprised it's true for their business also. I used to think that in our kind of business, experience is a depreciating asset. Technology and data science changes.
In disruptive businesses, it's baggage.
Yeah.
Experience works only in investing businesses.
I will move on from this topic before. One last topic on culture and life. You know, Ashish is building the business with his wife. I know you.
She's building it with her husband.
Yes. Okay. You were almost partners with one of our other founders, Revant. You guys are going off on an offside together, thinking about stuff. And he's building it with his buddy. You've been through multiple businesses. You know, people sometimes ask about work-life balance. कैसे करना है योर तो लाइफ हैज बिकम वाइफ लाइफ वर्क एवरीथिंग हाउ डू यू गाइस इवन थिंक अबाउट दिस एंड स्पेसिफिकली फॉर फाउंडर्स हु आर लुकिंग टू स्टार्ट आउट व्हाट इज द थॉट प्रोसेस ऑन सम ऑफ दिस
आई शुड गो फर्स्ट
आई डोंट नो व्हाट टू से हियर आई मीन ऑनेस्टली आई डोंट वर्क लाइफ बैलेंस इज ओवररेटेड आई जस्ट फाइंड दिस एज अ कॉन्सेप्ट इट्स आई जस्ट फाइंड दिस हाउ कैन अ फाउंडर इवन हैव बाय द वे आई डू दिस And it's probably a trick I'm giving away. I count the number of times work-life balance is mentioned to be my person I'm interviewing. And for me, that's a conversation that is not.
Yeah.
If I'm actually smart, wife ke saath hai, to wife ye bhi nahi poochti tum din bhar karte kya?
Yeah.
Itne busy kaam.
Yeah.
Like, and then we chat about phone bhi nahi aate honge.
Nahi, ye log to kaam hi rehte hain saath karte hain. What about both of you? Or you?
You have to be ready to take a stressful life.
Yeah.
I have seen the category creation happening earlier in my life twice, thrice at PTM at MakeMyTrip. I have seen founders doing long stuff. At least at MakeMyTrip, because of the nature of business, he was in hospitality business. So you will have to go to certain locations, which today we treat as leisure, but for him it was work also. But it is hard, like, unfortunately.
You get paid for taking stress. The more stress you take, the better paid you are in all respects, right? So my stern belief is that you have to have a very strong personal ecosystem if you want to go far in life. In any kind of profession, academic, any kind of pursuit of excellence, you need to have that, whether it is your wife, whether it is your kids, whether it is your parents, whether it is your friends, they all need to tag along. And if you have them at work, even better, they find it easier.
I think particularly through COVID, because at least I felt, I don't know how others felt about it, it was a pretty dark period in many ways, right? And you know, when you are going through that, if you don't have someone around you who can understand that, doesn't empathize necessarily, but just understand that and know when to back off, when to come in, I think that's going to be a problem. So I think for me, at least that was very, very important. I think actually very important having that ecosystem is.
I think things
are
as simple as, like, for example, having a driver. Like, I used to drive myself. I have been driving all my life myself. But in the last 6 to 8 months, I have taken a driver. And it has just taken, reduced my stress level by, say, 30-40%. So every time, like, I don't have to bother over. Once in a while, I tell him, if I will jana chalunga. But otherwise, like, a lot of that is being taken care by him. So I don't need to bother over कहाँ पार्क करना है, कैसे करना है, गाड़ी कहाँ ले जानी है, एंड अ लॉट ऑफ टाइम्स यू कैन सेंड द कार बैक होम, पेरेंट्स कैन टेक केयर एंड ऑल दैट काइंड ऑफ स्टफ.
No, so my two cents on this is, I agree, violent agreement, but the question does come up. I think it's work-life harmony. I am very impressed by how you have integrated your life completely. You know, this weekend, my wife, my kids, we were all at, you know, one of the factories, Ola Electric factory. I think there's no getting around that. If you're going to create a very large business, those have to integrate. If you're trying, I think, to Sandeep's, to Andy's point from embracing conflict, if you're trying to create balance, you would create conflict.
Yeah.
Don't even attempt. Integrate it, and I think that's the best way.
Or oh, पहले ही छोड़ देते हैं जिनका balance नहीं होता वो वैसे भी entrepreneur नहीं बनेंगे या fail हो जाते हैं.
I thought you said family भी छोड़ जाते हैं. Everything for him, everything is homogenization at entry, and for him it's embracing conflict. I've understood the difference. Anything
next
else on
separated budget?
Any other thoughts, guys, on culture? I'm going to move on to a different topic, but anything else you would want to share with budding entrepreneurs on culture building? What
I have been personally helped by a lot of my angels in terms of, you know, being very, very, at least it's a low risk environment for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at least fully vulnerable in front of them. Who marte me very, but I think I get the right feedback.
I'll say what I always say, which is solve for it first. The problem can be solved later, your investments can come later, your team can come later, but solve for it first.
Superb, superb. And I think for everybody, and this is of course based in Delhi, we're calling it the Delhi Valley series, so we're digesting the wisdom from you guys. But I think it's in every city now, but just look at, this is in a small ecosystem, look at the quality that's available in terms of thinking. And digest that upfront when you're starting a business.
Actually, stress relief point अच्छा है. मैं इस आदमी के लिए होता है. So you have your group of 3-4-5 people.
Renting के लिए.
हाँ. Where you can go and just talk and talk and talk. मेरे को ये problem है life में. मेरे को समझ नहीं आ रहा है या छोड़ गई है.
Yeah. No, without getting a feeling that you are being judged.
Yeah.
So like 4-5 people, if you are able to build your network of that kind, where you can talk, so that I think. Because a lot of people will not even understand. Sometimes your family will not even understand.
Yeah.
Like, they will say, "Ho jayega," or at once in a while they will also say, "Itna kyun stress lena?"
Yeah.
Zindagi thoda aaram se bhi nikal sakte hai na. They can't even understand what you are going through. So when they can't even understand.
And I think that's key. So many times when you are talking to somebody, they're like, "But why are you taking stress for this?"
Yeah.
That person you can't communicate with. You want to communicate with somebody who's saying, I understand," right? And they may not even have a solution. But so Ashish, what about this bubble? You are rumored to be turning down offers at 5 billion plus. Most valuable companies in the NCR ecosystem. So full bubble.
I think so. It is a bubble for somebody who's already created something. It's a massive flight to quality. I don't think it's a bubble would burst, right? This bubble, if at all you can call that term, came in about. Whatever, 9-12 months back, and I can bet on it that it's going to last a lot more. And what we are seeing is a humongous flight to quality. Because I will tell you that we have not only attracted the most amount of equity, we also attracted the most amount of debt in the ecosystem. We have not only attracted the most amount of investors, but the most amount of employees as well. I think there's a huge flight to quality. It's just that there's a huge demand supply mismatch, and this demand supply mismatch is going to stay. For quality businesses, whether they had tailwinds or headwinds or not, if there are quality businesses, there's a lot more money because some parts of the world are dried up and they will remain dried up, hopefully. So
you know, said so. हम लोग सब जब वो एक famous chart आया था during the first wave of US e-commerce penetration, where they said, you know, in 3 weeks you're gone, decades or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 10% increase.
India 5 साल में पहुंच.
ग्राउंड लेवल टेलवेंट्स. I think everybody will benefit
and feel inspired by what all is going on at the macro level, if you should talk a little bit about it.
So, our dhanda thoda alag hai. So, we are more B2B, so it will be more tailored to what I see on the ground. I think there are fundamentally three things that are changing. One is the demand, I would say, enhancement. There is a demand explosion. This won't happen. I don't know, but I can tell you that demand for core sectors of the economy, whether it is infrastructure, whether it is manufacturing, engineering, capital goods, it's just going through the roof. I mean, people in who used to be our borrowers, SMBs and mid-tier corporates, typically used to talk about 10 to 20% growth. Now they're talking about 10 to 20% growth monthly. One is there is definitely an import substitution that is happening from Southeast Asia and China. And second, there is, in my belief, all these companies had conserved money. They just never saw that opportunity. I think a lot of SMBs today, founders of their progenies, are actually seeing an opportunity. And just that mindset changed to say that we can grow. और दूसरा क्या हो रहा है जो आप अगर पालिका बाजार में रहे हैं तो वहां पे आपको एविडेंट दिखेगा पालिका बाजार गफार मार्केट ऑल दी स्मॉल हाउसहोल्ड कंज्यूमर गुड्स बेसिक इलेक्ट्रिकल अप्लायंसेस टॉयज एंड ऑल दैट यूज्ड टू बी डंप्ड फ्रॉम ऑल आवर नेबरिंग कंट्रीज राइट सो चीज इट्स ऑल कमिंग फ्रॉम द इंडियन मैन्युफैक्चरिंग इकोसिस्टम एंड द थर्ड इज आई वुड से द एक्सेप्टेंस ऑफ न्यू एज कंपनीज लाइक आर्स हैज गॉन थ्रू द रूफ पहले मैं कॉल करके किसी को बोलता था मैं ऑफ बिजनेस हूं बोलता था क्या है यार आधे लोग सोचते थे ऑफ बिजनेस है मीनिंग टू शट आउट देयर बिजनेस बैंक द फोन नाउ बट नाउ दे रिकॉग्नाइज द रीजन दे रिकॉग्नाइज बिकॉज ऑल द गुड न्यूज केम फ्रॉम अस ही रेज द बेट ही बिकेम प्रॉफिटेबल दोज आर द गाइस हु द प्राइम मिनिस्टर वांट्स टू मीट ही सेट अप सम कमिटी वेयर ऑल ऑफ अस आर इनवाइटेड एंड स्टफ दैट जस्ट एक्सेप्ट वेरी बेसिक लेवल ऑफ यू नो सॉरी मैस्लोस हायरार्की बहुत नीचे है कि यार मुझे न्यू एज कंपनी से कॉल आया था दे लुक फॉरवर्ड In fact, the number of inbounds we get without doing any kind of marketing to say, then our business में हर इसके लिए ये सुना था ये क्या आप मेरे लिए कुछ कर दो these kind of messages are proliferating. I think just the very basic level of saying new age companies don't stand for valuations and stuff that we don't understand technology and all that is changing.
तो ये जो growth है ये new age companies के लिए है या ये overall economy में हो रहा है?
नहीं, this is what I am seeing. I think the first one is more an economic phenomenon. The second one is also more economic phenomenon. I don't know whether it is temporary or permanent. The first one is going to stay for some time.
Plus, digital penetration is definitely so ek reset hua hai. So I think when I listened to him when he was telling me 3-4 months ago all of this stuff that was happening, it was actually very exciting because ek theory thi. Wo theory thi ki ye digital interaction hui hai. Ye dheere dheere compound karegi. Right? Unlike the US where the base was so big, so immediately you saw that this will compound with time. And then when he adds these macro factors of import substitution, manufacturing...
One of my big gurus was Narayan Murthy. Narayan Murthy, I think sometime in the early 2000s came and said that Infosys falling for a very big global trend, which was localization was becoming globalization. And Infosys was standing in the center of it. I think today the reverse is happening, which is ग्लोबल सप्लाई चेन्स हैव बीन डिसरप्टेड सो मच किसी को पता ही नहीं है कि अगर मैंने चाइना से माल खरीद लिया या फिर मैंने माल लीजिए इजराइल से मंगा लिया आएगा नहीं आएगा तो ग्लोबलाइजेशन हैज नाउ मूव्ड टू लोकलाइजेशन बिकॉज ऑफ विच पीपल हु एसेंशियली आर इंटरमीडियरीज ऑफ लार्ज स्केल एंड यू कैन बी इंटरमीडियरी ऑफ लार्ज स्केल ओनली फॉर टेक्नोलॉजी है Those are the ones who are seeing a massive tail. So globalization leading to localization, import substitution, household consumer goods and appliances, I think a lot of them are seeing, I would say, very basic tailwinds which we haven't seen in the last couple of decades that at least we've
had our senses. You are right. Like, for example, when the shipment comes from China, like our carriers, etc., some part of them comes from China.
वो तो एरोप्लेन आती ही नहीं आपको शिप से ले जाना पड़ेगा पूरा घूम के ले जाना पड़ेगा
वैसे जो हाँ वही पहले जो चीज हफ्ते में आती थी वो दो महीने की बातें होती है कॉस्ट हैज गॉन अप अनसर्टेनिटी बिकॉज़ माय बिजनेस इज कंटीन्यूअसली रनिंग इफ देयर इज अनसर्टेनिटी एट अ सप्लाई लेवल आई विल हैव टू फिगर आउट समथिंग इन इंडिया एंड आई एम अज्यूमिंग समबडी इन इंडिया इज टेकिंग बिल्डिंग दिस एज एन अपॉर्चुनिटी टू बिल्ड इट
सो आर यू सेइंग दैट द ट्रेंड लुक्स सेक्युलर
मिलियन डॉलर क्वेश्चन बट इफ यू आस्क मी 100% Because if you get locked into these supply chains which are of a longer tenure, what happens is, देखिए आपने किसी को माल दे दिया और वो माल का पैसा आपको 2 महीने बाद, मतलब माल ही 2 महीने बाद आने वाला है, और फिर उसके 1 महीने बाद आप पैसा दो, कंटिन्यूअसली यू विल डू बिजनेस विद द सेम गाय. इफ सपोज ही वाज एन इंस्टेंट, ही कुड स्टिल फ्लिप, बट वंस यू आर लॉक्ड इनटू अ वर्किंग कैपिटल एंगल, ईदर बिकॉज ऑफ गुड सर्विसेज और पेमेंट्स, यू आर लॉक्ड इन फॉरएवर.
इनफैक्ट आज उल्टा भी हो गया ना, आज डिस्ट्रस्ट हो गया, आएगा नहीं आएगा, जो पहले क्रेडिट पे काम होता था वो कह रहा है एडवांस दो, तो सडनली यू आर थिंकिंग मैं इसको एडवांस दूं भी कि नहीं दूं, क्योंकि एडवांस दे दिया और फिर सामान नहीं है तो मैं फंस जाऊंगा. सो देन यू आर लुकिंग एट मे बी मोर क्लोजर कुड बी स्लाइटली मोर एक्सपेंसिव बट रिलायबल गारंटेड सप्लाई.
And some of it, Chirag, will depend on entrepreneurs have to step up, if you ask me. Yeah. Not just digital. I'm seeing this with some of my friends. They are seeing clear substitution. They are getting a lot more business. But they have been really ramping up their quality and their reliability and all of that. So you have to do that.
Correct. It's almost free. Is it a short gap arrangement or as in when, let's say, COVID subsides?
Yeah. And I think that depends on how well do the entrepreneurs scale up.
Because they already have economies of scale, right?
Yeah.
So how does that come back? Maybe
देखिए धंधे में तीन चीज चाहिए, डिमांड चाहिए, डिमांड तो आ गई, पैसा चाहिए, we all are there. So with
the resources of that topic also, yeah.
पैसा चाहिए, लोग चाहिए. I think Indian ecosystems of both products and services, manufacturing and services, have never had it that big. We still need some policy support. I know that people are working on it on close quarters and hopefully we'll see some of them. But pehle teen cheez to solve ho gaye.
Before we come to the money, so my view, by the way, and coming to these two businesses, you know, if I look at my wife, March 20 versus July 21, didn't know UPI, wasn't on Amazon, wasn't on, you know, Swiggy, Zomato, whatever. I think you will see it in your business. Like a lot of that behavioral change that you are saying effectively, whether we call it student super app or whatever it is, that behavior and that expectation has come in now. Mm-hmm. And I think it will rapidly come out. When I was reading today's ET, I think said, you know, Flipkart, for example, going 50% year over year, whatever be that number.
At that scale.
Acceleration at scale. That's what the beauty is, right? That's
the beauty. So people are buying cars, second-hand cars online.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I would have, even if you would have asked me last year,
yeah,
I would have said, "Aise kaise jayegi?" Like, but now people are buying things like cars online, like without even like touching, feeling, just looking at a report and saying, "Acha, gaadi to theek hai, score theek hai." Just like the civil score, isko loan dena hai, kyunki iska civil score 800.
Yeah.
Suddenly, it's the gaadi ka score ye, theek hai, le.
So no surprise, but founders and VC conclude there's no bubble. This is all bubble.
I think the only one kind of headwind to all of this in my head is I still feel, and just as we, you know, Ashim had the point about flight to quality. I mean, you know, call it flight to quality. I also feel that the growth is not as broad-based as it should be. And I think there's still a lot of distress out there. Generally, I'm not saying specifically to any of our ecosystems. And I don't know whether that will play itself out and have meaningful headwinds in the future or not. Because I don't think that everyone has seen this wealth creation.
Yeah.
And that might be a concern.
You know, one of our investors is quite a celebrated economist. And this was his point. And I think this is something you all have to be aware of. Because if the pyramid concentrates too much, then this growth will slow down.
No, but if you look at massive wealth creations across countries, I mean, Japan in the 60s, Korea in the 80s, China in the 90s, it's always been like that. Mm-hmm. First, there was wealth creation at the top of the pyramid, the bottom really went away, and the top, over a period of time, actually descended.
I think that trickling down has to happen.
We are probably at that period where the top is happening right now.
Yeah. So, concluding on this bubble-ish environment, I think within the last 6 to 9 months, I don't know how many rounds you have raised, I've lost track. I know everybody's raised money. So, advice to founders, how should you be navigating this kind of an environment?
Le lo.
See what
come low.
Come low. I think that's summary.
I think the importance of a strong balance sheet has been proven through COVID. So, if you're getting the capital ticket.
Debt or equity. Investing in karta bhi.
To that point, by the way, because you made this point earlier that you know internet businesses cannot make money. I just want to be clear, this is a 30% PBT business, 20% PBT, 24% PBT business, and growing what?
2.5x.
3.5x. Year over year. So you can make money while doing this.
Thanks for tuning in. For more Matrix Moments episodes, you can head to www.matrixpartners.in/blog. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more updates.